song. And this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn, Jill Robbins, and Dan Novak. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
A United Nations report warns that the effects of climate change are likely to intensify unless urgent measures are taken to protect humanity and the planet. The report was released Monday by the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC. It deals with the ways nature and the world's societies are currently suffering from human activities linked to climate conditions. The report states that extreme heat, dry conditions, and floods are already threatening the survival of some plants and animals. The IPCC said the changes are appearing much faster and are far more serious and widespread than expected 20 years ago. In a speech Monday, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the world needs to invest in new ways to adapt to intensifying climate change. Adaptation saves lives, he said. But Guterres said world leaders had failed to take effective steps to limit one of the main causes of climate change, heat-trapping carbon gases. Large investments in programs and technology will be needed to limit such pollution, which he said especially harms the world's most vulnerable populations. The facts are undeniable. This abdication of leadership is criminal, Guterres added. Mohamed Edo is director of the climate policy organization Power Shift Africa. He said in a statement that he considers the UN report a serious wake-up call to all areas of the world. The rich, polluting global north has changed the planet through fossil fuel burning and is now refusing to help those suffering the effects, Addo said. The report is considered important because the UN expects world leaders to use it to form new policies. Its release comes 3 months after world leaders met at a UN climate meeting in Glasgow, Scotland. The UN's 2015 Paris Agreement aims to contain worldwide warming to within 1.5 degrees Celsius of pre-industrial levels. The UN report describes pre-industrial as a time before modern industry and uses a 50-year period ending in 1900 to measure it. Experts say the world is already 1.1 degrees Celsius warmer than pre-industrial times, and heat-trapping carbon gases continue to increase. Climate experts say this could push temperatures above the UN's target of 1.5 degrees Celsius by the 2030s. The new report warns that if that limit is crossed, then many human and natural systems will face additional severe risks. Some will be irreversible, even if global warming is reduced. I'm Brian Lynn.
The Russian attack on Ukraine has brought attention to another place that could face aggression from a much larger neighbor, Taiwan. Some political experts are comparing Russia's moves against Ukraine to China's threats to take control of self-ruled Taiwan. Like Ukraine, Taiwan is a democracy that has resisted a more powerful government. However, many on the island feel the differences are important. For them, the war in Ukraine and war in general feel far away. Ethan Lin is a 40-year-old who works in the service industry. He said, "I think our situation is not very similar to Ukraine's, whether it's political or in terms of connections. China has many exchanges with Taiwan in several areas, so I don't think it's that dangerous." Taiwan's government, the Republic of China, governs the island of 23 million people, about 160 kilometers off China's eastern coast. The People's Republic of China claims the island should become part of its political system. The issue has grown more intense since Tsai Ing-wen became president of Taiwan in 2016. In recent months, China has increased military pressure on the island by sending ships into nearby waters and flying fighter jets in airspace claimed by Taiwan. Last week, the Chinese army reported it had carried out military landing exercises in the East China Sea. The important question for Taiwan is whether the United States would intervene if China invaded. U.S. President Joe Biden has said America will not send troops to defend Ukraine. The U.S. has no current official diplomatic ties with Taiwan, but did in the past. The U.S. cut formal diplomatic relations with Taiwan in 1979. To recognize mainland China. Last August, the U.S. approved the sale of $750 million in weapons to Taiwan. The U.S. is also bound by its own law to make sure that Taiwan can defend itself. Cao Chung-Wang is a professor at Tam Kung University in Taiwan. He said, "Taiwan's economy and technology is important to the U.S., and perhaps the U.S. will value Taiwan more. But we have to see how the conflict plays out." Taiwan announced Friday it would join international restrictions against Russia. Wang Tingyu, a lawmaker from Tsai's ruling Democratic Progressive Party, wrote on social media, "We can't sit on the sidelines while a big power bullies a small neighbor." China's President Xi Jinping has said that peaceful reunification of China and Taiwan is in the best interests of both sides. However, China has said it would use force if necessary to reach reunification. At present, military action seems unlikely. Li Mingjiang is a Chinese international relations expert at Singapore's Nanyang Technological University. He said outside events like the Russian invasion would not influence China's actions. He added that China would continue to use information campaigns and peaceful ways to influence public opinion on Taiwan. Taiwan's cabinet spokesperson, Lo Ping-cheng, said in a statement on Monday that people should not create fears by comparing Taiwan and Ukraine. He said, in all areas, the two cannot be compared. Lo added that those who took this chance to talk about today's Ukraine, tomorrow's Taiwan, were wrongly linking Ukraine's situation with Taiwan's, disturbing people's morale. This is inadvisable. Taiwan has a natural barrier of the Taiwan Strait, separating it from China. It also is an important producer of semiconductors, or computer chips, that are used in smartphones, cars, and many electronic devices. I'm Jill Robbins.
Researchers are looking into the biological causes of stuttering. Stuttering is a speech problem that causes the speaker to repeat the beginning sound of some words. For centuries, people have feared being judged for stuttering. It is a condition often misunderstood as a psychological problem caused by things like bad parenting or emotional trauma. But research presented at a recent science conference explores its biological causes, genetics, and brain differences. Stuttering affects 70 million people around the world, including U.S. President Joe Biden. Biden has spoken publicly about being bullied by classmates for his speech problem. He has said that overcoming his stutter was one of the hardest things he ever did. After a campaign event in 2020, he met a New Hampshire teenager who also stuttered, Braden Harrington. They ended up talking for an hour. Living with a stutter has not been easy, Braden told the Associated Press. I want to carry on what Joe Biden said to me, he said, that this does not define you, and that you can be much more than you see yourself as. Stuttering has been recorded as far back as ancient China, Greece, and Rome. But no one really knew what caused it until modern genetic science and brain imaging helped provide some answers. Researchers identified the first genes strongly linked to stuttering more than a decade ago. Imaging studies looked at brains of adults and older children. And in the last few years, University of Delaware researcher Ho Ming Chow started looking at 3 to 5-year-olds. That is around the age many kids begin stuttering, with about 80% outgrowing it. Chow said the imaging shows small brain differences in young children who keep stuttering, compared with those who recover or those who never stuttered. He discussed his research earlier this month at a conference of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. For example, Chow and his team found that genetic mutations related to stuttering are linked to structural problems in the corpus callosum and thalamus areas of the brain. The corpus callosum is an area that connects the two sides of the brain and helps them communicate. The thalamus sends sensory information to other parts of the brain. Past research has also linked stuttering to the basal ganglia, a group of brain structures involved in body movements. Though several genes may be involved and the exact genetic causes may vary by child, they probably affect the brain in a similar way, Chow said. Still, many people incorrectly believe that people stutter because they are nervous or suffered childhood trauma. Some also think stutterers could stop if they just tried harder. We have a long way to go to change such beliefs, said University of Maryland researcher Nan Bernstein Ratner. Speech therapy is currently the main way to treat stuttering, but the medications now being tested could be approved for stuttering in the next few years. Studies have suggested that stuttering may be related to high levels of a chemical in the brain called dopamine. Some medicines reduce dopamine activity or block its action. Holly Nover is a speech pathologist and member of the National Stuttering Association. She grew up trying to hide her stutter. Her 10-year-old son, Colton, also has a speech problem. She said many people will surely be interested in trying stuttering medications, but not her. She is happy with her life as it is, and says she has accepted her stuttering. If Colton were struggling and wanted to try medication as a teenager, however, she would be open to the idea. Brayden, who is now 14, does not plan to try medication. Taking medicine is just taking away a part of you, taking away part of your personality, he said. I'm Dan Novak.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. Bob Doty and I discuss American arts and popular culture during the 1930s. Hard economic times and social conflict have always offered a rich source of material for artists and writers. A painter's colors can show the drying of dreams or the flight of the human spirit. A musician can express the tensions and uncertainty of a people in struggle. The pressures of hard times can be the force to lift a writer's imagination to new heights. So it was during the 1930s in the United States. The severe economic crisis, the Great Depression, created an atmosphere for artistic imagination and creative expression. The common feeling of struggle also led millions of Americans to look to films, radio, and other new art forms for relief from their day-to-day cares.
The most popular sound of the 1930s was a new kind of music, swing music. And the king of swing was a clarinet player named Benny Goodman. Benny Goodman and other musicians made swing music extremely popular during the 1930s. Swing music was a new form of jazz. Many of its first players were black musicians in small, unknown groups. It was only when more well-known white musicians started playing swing music in the middle 1930s that the new music became wildly popular.
One reason for the popularity of swing music was the growing power of radio during the 1930s. Radio had already proven in earlier years that it could be an important force in both politics and popular culture. Millions of Americans bought radios during the 1920s. But radio grew up in the 1930s. Producers became more skillful in creating programs. And actors and actresses began to understand the special needs and power of this new electronic art form. Swing music was not the only kind of music that radio helped make popular. The 1930s also saw increasing popularity for traditional classical music by Beethoven, Bach, and other great musicians. In 1930, the Columbia Broadcasting System began a series of concerts by the New York Philharmonic Orchestra on Sunday afternoons. The next year, the National Broadcasting Company, NBC, began weekly opera concerts.
In 1937, NBC asked Arturo Toscanini of Italy to lead an orchestra on American radio. Toscanini was the greatest orchestra leader of his day. Millions of Americans listened at Christmas time as Toscanini and the NBC Orchestra began playing the first of 10 special radio concerts. It was a great moment for both music and radio. For the first time, millions of average Americans were able to hear classical music by great musicians as it was being played.
Music was an important reason why millions of Americans gathered to listen to the radio during the 1930s. But even more popular were a series of weekly programs with exciting or funny new actors. Families would come home from school or work and laugh at the foolish experiences of such actors as Jack Benny, Fred Allen, George Burns, Edgar Bergen, and W.C. Fields. Radio helped people forget the hard conditions of the Great Depression, and it helped to bring Americans together and share experiences.
Swing music, classical music, great comedy programs. The 1930s truly were a golden period for radio and mass communications. But it was also during this period that Hollywood and the American film industry became much more skilled and influential. In previous years, films were silent, but the talkies arrived in the 1930s.
Directors could produce films in which actors could talk. Americans reacted by attending film theaters by the millions. It was a great time for Hollywood. The films had exciting new actors. Spencer Tracy, Betty Davis, Katharine Hepburn, the young Shirley Temple. The most famous film of the period was Gone with the Wind, with Clark Gable and Vivian Leigh in the starring roles of Rhett Butler and Scarlett O'Hara.
No, I don't think I will kiss you. Although you need kissing badly. That's what's wrong with you. You should be kissed and often, and by someone who knows how.
Oh, and I suppose you think you are the proper person.
I might be, if the right moment ever came.
Directors in the 1930s also produced such great films as It Happened One Night, Mutiny on the Bounty, and The Life of Emile Zola.
The success of radio and films, as well as the Depression itself, caused problems for many American newspapers during the 1930s. The trouble was not so much that readers stopped buying newspapers. It was that companies talked about their products through advertisements on radio instead of buying advertising space in newspapers. Nearly half of the nation's independently published newspapers either stopped publishing or joined larger companies during the 1930s. By World War II, only 120 cities had competing newspapers.
Weekly and monthly publications faced the same problem as daily newspapers: increased competition from radio and films. Many magazines failed. The two big successes of the period were Life magazine and the Reader's Digest. Life magazine had stories for everyone about film actors, news events, or just daily life in the home or on the farm. Its photographs were the greatest anywhere. Reader's Digest published shorter forms of stories from other magazines and sources.
Most popular books of the period were like the films coming from Hollywood. Writers cared more about helping people forget their troubles than about facing serious social issues. They made more money that way, too. But a number of writers in the 1930s did produce books that were both profitable and of high quality. One was Sinclair Lewis. His book, It Can't Happen Here, warned of the coming dangers of fascism. John Steinbeck's great book, The Grapes of Wrath, helped millions understand and feel in their hearts the troubles faced by poor farmers. Erskine Caldwell wrote about the cruelty of life among poor people in the southeastern United States, and James T. Farrell about life in Chicago.
The same social concern and desire to present life as it really existed also were clear in the work of many American artists during the 1930s. Thomas Benton painted workers and others with strong, tough bodies. Edward Hopper showed the sad streets of American cities. Reginald Marsh painted picture after picture of poor parts of New York City. The federal government created a program that gave jobs to artists. They painted their pictures on the walls of airports, post offices, and schools. The program brought their ideas and creativity to millions of people. At the same time, photography became more important as cameras improved in quality and became more movable. Some photographers, like Margaret Burke White and Walker Evans, used their cameras to report the hard conditions of the Depression.
All this activity in the arts and popular culture played an important part in the lives of Americans during the 1930s. It not only provided relief from their troubles, but expanded their minds and pushed their imaginations. The tensions and troubles of the Great Depression provided a rich atmosphere for artists and others to produce works that were serious, foolish, or just plain fun. And those works, in turn, helped make life a little better as Americans waited, worked, and hoped for times to improve.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.